Hello and a warm welcome to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. On a weekend full of handicap clues, full of derby clues, full of Oaks clues, and we've even got some classics on Sunday over the season France. We've got a great panel this weekend to preview the action. We've got Matt Gardner, our two-year-old handicapper. I'll be intrigued to know who he's liked as a two-year-old so far this season. Johnny Pearson, who will give us all things French at the back end of the postcast. And from Unibet, we have Ed Nicholson. And Ed, you're beaming in from Gibraltar, is that right?
Live from Gibraltar, yes. You can't tell because it's just the room. But it is Gibraltar, yeah. It's very sunny here, but I believe it's very sunny back in the good old UK, is it? The weather's come out and put its hat on.
Absolutely. Summer is here. Summer is here. We'll have a quick chat, gents, just briefly about last weekend and the 2,000 and 1,000 guineas, worth giving them a mention. Matt, I'll come to you first. There's a bit of heartbreak for myself with Ramatuelle in the 1,000 guineas, with Aurélien Lemaître a lot saying on social media kicking too soon, and she may be potentially the best horse in the race. What do we make of both the guineas? Was there any eye catchers in behind that you want to take note of going forward?
Yeah, she surprised me a little bit. I mean, she didn't stay, but that wasn't stamina related, really, as much as, like you say, tactics a little bit. There were a couple, obviously, that knocked the eye out in the 1,000 guineas, her and Tam Farna. I mean, the most interesting thing is the City of Triangle, isn't it? And I think some of that boils down to unrealistic expectations for him a little bit. Obviously, he bombed out and he was nowhere near his two-year-old form. But I wrote a thing earlier in the year about these 120-plus two-year-olds, you know, what looks like a good sort of achievement for them as three-year-olds. Most of them regress a little bit. You know, the average, I think, peak performance figure is a couple of pounds below what they do as two-year-olds. So, you know, you getting anywhere near the likes of Frankel, even Hawkwing, the best O'Brien horse, you know, it's not unrealistic, but it's a massive ask. So what he does for the rest of the year will be really interesting, but it looks a pretty good 2,000 guineas as well to me.
Absolutely, yeah, it could be a really good 2,000. I thought the winner was exceptional. I actually thought both of the Hannon horses are going to go on to do big things this season. Johnny Pearson, Unibet are currently going 4-1 about City of Troy for the Derby. Now, we saw August Rodin bomb out in the 2,000 guineas last year and then go on to win the event at Epsom. Is that 4-1 tempt you anyway, or would you not be touching him with a barge pole at the moment?
4-1, I would not be going anywhere near that. I mean, you know, I'm not saying the horse can't win the Derby. There's a couple of horses that have really caught my eye so far this season, and we might get some more clues on them this week, and we'll mention them later on in the show.
Absolutely. Yeah, Ed, there was a bit of a move, wasn't there, yesterday for City of Troy in the Derby, I believe. I might be wrong there, but there was a move in the market.
A little bit of a move, yeah. I mean, it's all guesswork, isn't it? Because if the City of Troy that turned up as a two-year-old comes to the Derby, it'll be a shorter price. Let's put it that way. But the horse that turned up for the 2,000 guineas should be a bigger price. So it's all a bit of guesswork, isn't it? But I mean, the Irish 2,000 guineas looks like it's going to be the target for both of the Hannon's placed horses that we gave quite a good mention to in the podcast last week. Hatem, that Craven's always a good race. You know, they were 33-1 at the time when we did the podcast, but came third at 16-1. And Rosalian, I mean, I bet they can't believe they beat City of Troy and didn't win the 2,000 guineas. I think Rosalian is a horse that they absolutely love. So yeah, I agree with you, Sam. I think there are plenty of good races for both of them, but I think Rosalian's the one that they really think will step up.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Really excited about both of them. I think Artem would be interesting. I'd love to see him go to Goodwood in the summer for the Sussex Stakes. He obviously won the Vintage there last year, so it'd be interesting to see if that's a potential target over a mile for him. But we will wait and see. Let us know down in the comments what you thought of the two classics from the previous week. And let's get into the racing then for this week. We've got Ascot, Haydock and Lingfield to cover. We're going to cover Ascot and Haydock in the first part of the show. And we start off there with the opening race, which is the 130, which is a flat handicap, a class 3 event over a mile and a half. And Qatari is currently topping the market with Unibet 3-1. Think First is 6-1. King of the Plains is 7-1. Great Bedouin is 15-2. Way of Life, 8-1. Double figures about the rest of the field. And Matt, I'll let you kick things off here. Who do you like in this?
It's an interesting handicap. The four-year-olds have done pretty well in this in the last few years. I think they've won the last four run-ins of it, which isn't a massive surprise considering the previous year's three-year-old form is usually dead solid. Hannan's got a couple. You mentioned one of them, Great Bredwin. I think he might want a bit further this year, to be honest. He looks more like a stayer to me. I liked his other one, Graham, who's a bigger price. His form last year is pretty good. He was generally pretty progressive, won a couple of races. He was down the field on his reappearance at Newbury. That was in a big field. The leaders went really hard that day, and he sat second. The first sort of handful all came from the back. I think the step back up in trip's going to suit. I think Ascot, his usual positive ride, it generally pays off on the round course. You need to be in kind of position A at Ascot on the round course, really. So he's a biggish price. He was about 16s, I think. So I thought he'd be up to outrunning that.
Okay, Richard Hannan horse kick things off, but the second string by the looks of things, 16-1, Graham for Matt Gardner. Ed Nixon, you're going to have to guide me on any offers, extra places this week. Have we got anything here, and who do you like?
Yeah, we have. We've got our money back second or third in this opening race at Ascot, the 130. Incidentally, if you do fancy any Hannan horse, we're writing the blog today with him about his runner, so that'll be available later on Thursday or early on Friday. So do go and have a look at Richard Hannan's blog. It is really, it's one of the most read blogs of the whole Unibet content site. And he does like to put up a few horses. So do go there. I thought this race was really difficult, but I've kind of plumped for one of the favourites, Qatari, who you'll know plenty about, Sam, coming from the Moore stable. When we do these podcasts, which are 2 days before the race, the worst thing about doing them is we don't know what the ground's going to be, but I've looked at the weather apps and it looks like there's no real rain forecast for the next 2 or 3 days. So I doubt whether it'll get any softer than good to soft. But this fella's won so easily in heavy as well as on good ground that this particular horse looks bomb-proof whatever they're going. He did win really ridiculously easy at Salisbury last time by 10 lengths. Got a penalty. I noticed he was entered for three different races over the next few days to try to take advantage of the before the handicapper can reassess him. I just thought he had the best form. It's a lightly raced individual. I think the 1 mile 4 should suit perfectly. It got loads of ticks in my box, so it's uneventful to say that I'm going for the favourite. But I just thought Qatari was strong claims at around about 3-1. The only thing I would say, he was disappointing over hurdles, wasn't he? Really? And they've come back to the flat. I don't know whether he's won twice now. I don't know. Is he a disappointing sort? Not so far in his flat career, that's for sure. So he looked so good last time that I can't leave him alone, to be honest. I thought he was a good bet around about 3-1.
Absolutely, yeah. Previously from the Jean-Claude Rouget camp, then came to the Gary Moore team, went over the National Hunt Sphere, and it didn't quite work out. But since returning back to the flat, things have been working out perfectly fine for Qatari, and comes here looking for a hat-trick. Johnny Pearson, who for you in the 130?
There's a couple that have caught my eye, which unfortunately are sort of both drawn fairly wide, which is not likely to be ideal. But you can get, it's not set in stone that it's going to be not allow you to win the race. Now, King of the Plains and Obsidian Knight. Obsidian Knight obviously won well at Chelmsford on their reappearance, a couple of weeks ago? And he won with a bid in hand that day, I felt, getting there under a good ride, getting there later on. I think the step back up to a mile and a half should really suit. And he's going to be, a bit fitter for it and should run very well again. And King of the Plains, I thought, was very interesting, having his first run for James Horton, having been sold from Qatar. It was interesting that David Redvers has a share in the horse now, who's racing manager to Qatar. So you get the impression they've definitely seen something there they like. Okay, he flopped a couple of times last season. But if you take those runs at Doncaster and Hamilton away, his form's looking pretty rock solid, including a win last time out. I think he can really step forward this season.
Okay, so King of the Plains and Obsidian Knight for Johnny Pearson. We've then got Qatari for Ed Nixon. And then Graham at a big price at 16-1 for Matt Gardner. On to the 205 then, which is a British EBF Phillies handicap. Class 2 event over a mile. Where Zuzana is topping the market at 4-1. Flying Finn 9-2. Mother Mary 6-1. Top Anger is 7-1. Strong Impact 15-2. Rose Prick and My Margie 8-1. Double figures about the other three in the field. To you first here, Johnny Pearson. Who do you like?
I quite like Top Anger for Sheen Murphy and Andrew Baldwin. Well, she's a little bit disappointing last time at Newbury, but she got stuck in behind horses a couple of times and wasn't then given the hardest time once the race was over for her. And, you know, the form's looking pretty good with the third going on to win the 1,000 guineas at the weekend. Yeah. The winner of that race is running in the French 1,000 guineas on Sunday, I believe, or at least entered for it at this stage anyway. And I think it could be a really strong piece of form going forward through the season. Andrew Boarding and Ashin Murphy started the season pretty well, and there's not too many negatives here. I think Rose Prick could be one that really puts a bit of danger in, but I think Topanga has a really, really good chance here.
Absolutely, showing really good form. But I mean, the in the market it looks like the horse is drifting, which is a bit unusual. But yeah, Folgaria looks like she's going to head to the 1,000 guineas out in France. And El Malco, who was third that day, has since won the 1,000 guineas here. Matt Gardner, to you, who do you like in this one?
Yeah, the Topanga is definitely interesting. I like the other one that we don't know that much about, which is my Margie. The proviso being that she needs to prove that she can take to turf. It's probably worth Ed mentioned the ground on the previous race. The straight course here, it's generally a little bit firmer than the round course. So I mean, she's won twice on the all weather. She's a half sister to a turf winner. The Dam was a turf winner out in the US. So there's the sort of hope that she can take to it. On the face of it, she wasn't that impressive last time. She won by a sort of short margin in a bit of a muddling race, but I don't think that suited her. It was she's the sort of filly that I think a decently run mile, stiffish mile that she'll get here, I think that's really going to suit her. She's the other one, like Topanga, that we don't know all that much about. I think she's got a bit more to come, providing she can sort of translate that form to turf.
Okay, and my Margie, Richard Hughes, has started the season so well. I think they're in for a massive season, actually, the Hughes camp. Really excited about some of their horses. Ed Nicholson, you're going to finish us off in the 205. What have we got here?
Well, I'm going along with Jonathan. I've gone for Topanga. I love it when you have a horse that kind of runs in a classic trial that doesn't have much form and bumps into a few good horses, and then it turns up in a handicap after three runs. I just like it to try and work out, is it well handicapped or it isn't. You don't know, but a rating of 88 just took my head straight away when I looked at it and looked at the form that he's been running in. I didn't think that was a bad run at Newbury. I noticed, like Jonathan, that she has drifted remarkably since the opening show. When I looked at it, she was 11-2, 5-1. She's now sevens and eights and even bigger. I just wondered whether that may be to do with the drying ground. I noted that she ran on the all-weather as a two-year-old, maybe. But she was a, you know, book one, 230,000 guinea purchase, only three runs. You would like to think, if you bought this filly, that she's better than an 88 rated handicapper, wouldn't you? So I just thought it was a good price. I am a little wary of the drift, I must admit. That there might be something there that we don't know. Perhaps it doesn't like the faster ground conditions that it probably will be down the straight mile on Saturday at Ascot. But yeah, those prices, I kind of thought that she was a decent price of 11-2. So she's even better at 7-1.
Yeah, 7-1. Two votes for Topanga then, and one vote for my Margie for Matt Gardner. Let's move on to the big race there, the big Heritage Handicap on the card at Ascot. 240 is the Victoria Cup, over 7 furlongs. Emma Stabshire is the 13-2 favourite here for the John and Fady Gosden team. Pearl Door is 9-1. Popmaster 10-1. The Wizard of Eyes 11-1. Fantastic Fox Hickory, they're also 11-1. Ramazan, Merlin the Wizard 12-1 and 14-1. Barleys, there's definitely going to be extra places here, Ed Nicholson.
Yeah, there is an extra place available for the Victoria Cup. It's a great race. I always look forward to this race because, for me, that's when the big handicaps, the sprint handicaps, begin. And when you go through the season, the form does tie into this race quite a lot, whether it's a 6-furlong handicaps or the mile handicaps. It's quite a nice handicap to start off with, over 7 furlongs. And also at Ascot, I love hold-up horses in sprint, 6-furlong, 7-furlong races, where there's plenty of runners and plenty of cover. They do have an incredible record or factor for winning these sort of races. And I'm going for one here in Pearl Door. I think you can put a line through Pearl Door's performance at headquarters 23 days ago, that they weren't coming from behind. And, you know, that was a pipe opener as well. I think that he's based upon his form last season at Ascot as well. On this ground, he's got every chance. He's gone to Ascot three times. He's come first, second and third. And as a lot of horses do, once you find a horse that runs well at a track, they tend to continually run well at a track. But even more so at Ascot up the straight mile, any of the 6, 7 furlong, 8 furlong mile races. And I just thought he showed that he liked Ascot. He's been placed twice on good to soft ground. His 7 furlong runs, he's had 9 of those. He's 1-2, come second once and third 3 times. So everything looks well. The ground's going to be a bit quicker, but that's no problem because he's finished third on good ground over this distance at Ascot, rated 90. He's rated 90 here. There's everything in his favour. And the cherry on top of the cake is that Sylvester D'Souza who's riding at the top of his form at the moment, has got so much confidence. So although it's a competitive handicap, I thought he would be favourite. He's at the top of the market, but he's 10-1, and I thought that was a fair price each way, especially with the extra places. Can't see him being out of the places myself.
Yeah, Pearl Door, yeah, currently around 9-1. Sylvester D'Souza, 1,000 guineas winning jockey aboard. This race had bad memories for me last year because I went to Ascot, I had 6 horses in the trifecta, and they finished 1st, 3rd, 4th, 5th. And 6th, which wasn't ideal. Yeah, I almost landed it, just didn't get the second. Matt Gardner, who do you like in this?
Yeah, I'm right there with Ed. I absolutely love Pearl Door in this, to be honest. On the one hand, the case is like dead obvious, isn't it? You know, Ed's done a good job of making it, but I think in some ways it's almost even like a bit more nuanced than that. In, you know, O'Mara's got this reputation for being like, you know, he's obviously really, really good at getting one ready, whether it's a stable newcomer, whatever it is. But I think to sort of focus on that a bit does him a disservice. Like, these horses that he gets, they thrive for a long time with him. And Pearl Door last year, you know, he was second on his first start for O'Mara. It was another 5 runs before he won for him. And then it was kind of like PB after PB for him after from then on. Like Ed said, he was, you know, forget his reappearance. He needed the run. That all served its purpose. Newmarket that day was not riding to suit him by any means. I think he's drawn in the right place. He's in box 14. I think the pace all looks sort of middle to high to me. If you watched Ascot last week, being on the stand side was an advantage. They're all kind of coming up that wing. I was really, really struggling to pick a hole in Pearl Door, to be honest.
Pearl Door, then 2 votes in the Victoria Cup for Pearl Door. If there was ever a race on the postcast where we weren't going to get a hat-trick, it would be the Victoria Cup. And Johnny Pearson, you're going to ruin it here. Is it a hat-trick for Pearl Door?
No, absolutely not. I mean, they for what seems a very tricky race, they're far too keen and confident on one horse for my liking. But, yeah, obviously, there's obvious claims there, and, you know, it's hard to... You can't really disagree with anything they've said. But I'm going to give one a bit more of a price for the Roger Teale Yard in Coraggio. The drawn 11 slightly off putting bang in the middle. But I was quite taken with his reappearance at Kempton last time. He was up with the pace, and the winner was on the pace throughout. But the others up there faded in the second and third. And Hickory finished second that day and was in this race as well, at a much shorter price, came from behind. I think Coraggio's got some decent form in the past and can really take a step forward from that. I think the mile can well suit here if given a good ride, getting a bit of cover in behind horses. And I fully expect him to be there come the end of the race.
Okay, Coraggio around 16-18-1 with Unibet, another big price of the Roger Teale team this time around. Let's move across the spheres to the National Hunt sphere for one race. 3:15 at Haydock, the one race on ITV there is the Swinton Handicap Hurdle, Premier Handicap Class 1 race over 2 miles, where Joseph O'Brien sends a horse over here in Lark in the Morning, the Boodles Juvenile Handicap Hurdle winner from the Cheltenham Festival, currently the 85-40 favourite of Unibet. Affadil for the Nichols Camp 13-2. Bully is 9-1. Gin Coco 10-1. Tin and Rare Middleton 11-1. 12-1 about Rigney Mill and 14-1. Bar these. Where should I start? I'll start with you again here, Ed Nicholson. Lark in the Morning, a short price favourite for the Joseph O'Brien team here. Probably one of the shortest price we'll have on the whole of the postcast this week. What do we make of this favourite?
Well, first of all, extra place, as you would expect for a race like this. I'm over here in Gibraltar with the trading team, and I went over and had a chat with them before the podcast, and they said when they opened the book on this, they put in it Lark in the Morning at 5-1, and within minutes it was down to 15-8. So the early money has come for Lark in the Morning. He's drifted a little bit since that. It's gone back out to around 5-2. But all the money was only for one horse when we opened up this book. lark in the morning. Now, having said that, so the professionals are on, no doubt, and our odds compilers have cut the odds. I think he's worth taking on at 5-2. He won, you know, he obviously won at the Cheltenham Festival really easily, off a racing somewhat £8 lower than he's running on today, so 130. But if you go through the form of the Boodles, I went through the next nine horses that ran. Only one of them has won a race that they've contested since that race. And not only did the others lose, they all got absolutely beaten into next week. So the only one that won was actually stable companion Harsh, who came fourth and then followed up. So I think, you know, that shouldn't be a reason in its own just to oppose a horse if the other horses it beat don't win. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that. But the form might not be as solid as everyone thinks it is. That's the point I'm making. They obviously want to come over here for the ground, I would have thought, as well as the big prize. And anything that Joe sends over here, Joseph Bryan sends over here, has got to be worth a second look. You know, I understand all of that. But there are a few good horses in here, horses that have run well on this sort of track at this sort of year, on this sort of ground. And they've not been having this sort of ground. They've not been running at this sort of trip. They've not been here at Haydock. So there's reasons maybe that you might get a big outsider coming. Now, which one, I really don't know. But I'm going to take a real punt and go for a horse that I've always liked. He's run in this race before. I think he came fifth, and he's a big price, about 20-1. But Luttrell Lad, he ran in this race when he was trained by Philip Hobbs. He's now with Tom Lacey. I'm a big fan of Tom Lacey. I think he trains horses really well and places them exceptionally well. I think he ran Luttrell Lad when he was with Hobbs, ran here off 135 and finished fifth, I think. And now he's, what, on 128. Obviously, he's not the horse he once was. He's now eight. We know that he's, you know, he will like this sort of straight, not undulating. What do you call it? It's flat track. And he will also, you know, like the ground. I think he's been running over 2.5 quite a lot, and he's back down to 2. A fast run 2 mile, I think, on a flat track on a faster surface, I think, will suit him. And bits of bobs with form at Aintree mean he really hasn't got much chance with a couple of the others in the race on actual pounds and lengths. But he did make mistakes in that race at Aintree. Stan Shepherd gets on board. He has been ridden by a £7 claiming conditional for the last two runs. So I think there are reasons to perhaps think that he can do a bit better at a big price. So Luttrell Lad at around about 20-1, I think he is, Sam.
Luttrell Lad for Ed Nixon at a big price. He's taking on the favourite Lark in the Morning. Oh, I really like Lark in the Morning here, and I might be completely wrong. Johnny Pearson, I know you're going to be taking on Lark in the Morning.
I mean, yeah, the horse gives me nightmares. You know, I've been when he went in 21 in January, I had him down as a potential Boodles horse, and he go and get non-runner twice on heavy ground, and then goes and wins easily on heavy ground in the Boodles. I was, you know, not the biggest fan of that move. To further Ed's point, the ninth and the 12th from the Boodles have both won at Punchestown last week, which is, but I wouldn't take too much note of that. They're beating so far out of distance at Cheltenham, it's, you know, the ground and conditions are probably more likely than anything for that. Yeah, Lark in the Morning, I think he's too short a price, and, you know, there's a case to be made for a lot of horses in here. You know, you both, yourself and Edward at Cheltenham, where Rare Middleton, Tintin and Tapley are all in the first four home. You know, that's a good piece of form, but I'm not sure it'll be good enough to win this race here. And I've decided I'm going to go on one that I've backed previously on the pod called All the Glory for the John Joe O'Neill team. You know, she was very impressive when winning at Newbury when we saw her back in March. And I think there's more to come from that. That was a first run for a few months. I think there's more to come from her, and she should run well at a bit of a price here.
Okay, All the Glory again, around 16-1 for Johnny Pearson. There's me fancying the favourite once again. Matt Gardner, you're going to fancy one at a price as well, or are you going to side with the favourite?
I think he's probably just the right price to slightly skinny, I think, for me. He's taking chunks out of the market, and he probably a little bit more so than how competitive the race is. I quite like Rare Middleton. I think this will suit him more than Cheltenham does. He looks like a very sort of Swinton-y type of horse to me, kind of strong travelling speedster. At a price, I thought Pick a Number had run quite well. This is going to be like completely different to the races that he's been winning, like smallish fields at smallish tracks. But his last win stacks up pretty well. He beat a horse who was going there looking for the hat trick. The third was potentially chucked in on its chase form, and the fourth was pretty unexposed as well. So you know, it's a very different sort of race. He's a big price, but I can see him running that. But I'd probably side with Rare Middleton, I think.
Okay, Rare Middleton, the main selection. I don't know if you've just made up a word in being a Swinton-y type of horse, but we'll go with it. I don't know how often that will get used down during the National Hunt season next year, but we'll wait and see. So there we go. There are the selections for the Swinton Handicap Hurdle. We're going to be going to Lingfield shortly after this for some classic trials.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 Uniboosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to part 2 of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. You've got Sam Hart, Matt Gardner, Ed Nicholson and Johnny Pearson taking you through the weekend action. We head to Lingfield next. 4 races on ITV from Lingfield. They're going to have their Derby and Oaks trials, but we kick things off with a handicap there over 1.5 miles, a Class 2 event where Imeric is currently topping the market at 9-4 with Unibet. Flash Bardot is 100-30. True Legend 9-2, if not now, 15-2, Track of Time 17-2, Base Note 9-1, double figures. About the rest of them in the field, Matt Garner, I'll start with you on this one here. James Doyle and Roger Varian team up with the favourite. Is this going to be a likeable horse?
He's a horse that I've had issues with in the past. His profile's pretty hit and miss. I didn't think this was that strong a race, to be honest, and ultimately I thought he'd be quite hard to beat. His progress has sort of come in fits and starts a bit, and then he's disappointed when you fancied him. But he won at Beverley at the back end of last year, and I thought he did really well to get up. It can be quite hard to catch front runners there, and the second very much got the run of the race, and he came from off the pace to win pretty comfortably. He's on his racecourse debut, he finished second, and the 3 times after that he's had a decent break, he's won all 3, including on reappearance last year. I'm struggling to convince myself that he's a decent bet as short as he is, just because of his profile, but I don't really like anything against him. So, I think he'll win.
Okay, tentative selection for Imeric at the top of the market there. I was actually gutted that Champagne Piaf got taken out of this race, a horse that I'm a huge, huge fan of. Look out for Champagne Piaf. I think he's extremely well handicapped, and he'll probably head to Epsom, I'd imagine, where he won last time. Johnny Pearson, to you next, the 150, the handicap on the card. Who'd you like?
As Matt said, it doesn't look to be the strongest of races on paper. I mean, Flash Bardo won nicely enough at Doncaster, but she's one I'd much prefer on a softer surface. I've ended up deciding I'm going to go with a 6-year-old mare from Germany in Colossal, a new recruit for Jamie Osborne. Jamie Osborne's stable in pretty decent form so far, and Colossal's got pretty decent form in Germany from last season, winning in Grade 3 company, beating Vapicella and India, who are two good horses in themselves. And if Jamie Osborne has her in good form, she could really put her hat in the ring here.
Okay, Colossal for Johnny Pearson, a German recruit. And to Ed Nixon to finish things off in the handicap at Lingfield.
I've got the same sort of thoughts as Matt here. When I looked at the race, I thought Imeric was the likely winner, but I also put down 7-2 next to his name. He's now 9-4. So again, same as Matt, I think the price is a bit skinny. I think he's the most likely winner. I was impressed by his performance at Beverley when he coming into the home straight, and even inside the final 2 furlongs, he didn't look like he was the winner. And yet, when you look at the end of the race, he's powered clear. In the style of an improving horse. We haven't seen him for 252 days, but yeah, in a weak-looking race, I think he's the most likely winner.
Okay, 2 votes for Imeric then, and 1 vote for one at a Colossal price in Colossal at 16-1 for Johnny Pearson. Let's move into the trials then, gents. The 225 at Lingfield is the Oaks Trial Filly Stakes, a listed contest just shy of 1.5 miles here, where Danielle is the even money favourite of Unibet. Treasure is 4-1. Rubies Are Red is 9-2. You Got To Me is 11-2. Molten Rock 17-2. Big Time Bridget 33-1. And Cherry Burton also 33-1. A really interesting race, this Ed Nixon. The favourite absolutely bolting up at Weatherby last time. You've got 2 Rafe Beckett fillies in here. You can never discount a Rafe Beckett filly, especially going towards the Oaks. And an Aidan O'Brien filly who, I think it's fair to say, a lot of the Aidan O'Brien fillies, these three-year-olds that have come out and run, they're going to take massive step forwards and know that that's going to be the case with a horse like Ruby's a Red. How did you analyse this one?
Very difficult, isn't it? The basic form from one or two is very good, having contested group races, and those that have got loads of potential, obviously their form doesn't look any good at the moment, but that's what you get when you come to trials. That's exactly why they're there. From an analysis point of view, Danielle's a 6-4 favourite, just 10-1 to win the Oaks itself. Stable's in good form. Jockey's cracking start to his kind of inverted commas career with the Gostons. Rode a really good race at Newmarket, didn't he, in the Pretty Polly. So Danielle's the favourite and has every chance based upon those runs. Treasure is an interesting one for me. Didn't really know what it was doing in the back end maiden in Nottingham. And that's the kind of route that Rafe Beckett takes with many a good filly that have gone on to contest the Oaks or even win the Oaks. Giant Grey changed her legs two or three times in the final two furlongs and just powered home. Unbeaten. Again, we don't know what the ground would be like. It's going to be very different ground. That was heavy. This is going to be good, I think, and could be even faster if the weather, if my weather app's correct. And then you've got Ruby's a Red from the powerful Aidan O'Brien stable, who could step up on her two runs. The one I'm going to go for, though, is Molten Rock from Carl Burke's stable. I kind of like this filly, and so much so, I backed her when she ran at Longchamp, and she got beat. She came fourth. I don't think the race was run to suit myself. And I think she's a big price at 10-1. She's got experience, more experience than many of these in the race. Certainly, the more towards the front end of the market, the ones that could be good, but haven't had the runs. So I'm just going to go Molten Rock, really kind of perform well in this sort of class.
Okay, Molten Rock, yeah, around 10-1 there for the Carl Burke team, who have just been sensational form towards the start of this season. I was really impressed with actually their winner. Was it Caviar Heights in the listed race at Newmarket? Over the weekend, I was really, really impressed by that horse. Probably going to the Dante as well, which is going to be exciting. Matt Gardner, I'll come to you next. Who do you like? The one at the top of the market, Even Money, currently Unibet Danielle for the Gosden team. How impressed were you with that performance at Weatherby?
You couldn't get more style over substance if you tried, could you? I don't think than that. I mean, obviously she's got the pedigree to back it up, doesn't she? But if you take her out of the top handful of yards, you know, Gosden, Haggis, Appleby, O'Brien, there's no way she's even money for this, is she? I mean, the horse that beat her at Chelmsford was tailed off in a listed race last time. Like, you know, she's obviously all potential, isn't she? She might be really good, but, you know, even money in a trial with a field full of interesting fillies against her just wouldn't be for me, really. Ed mentioned Treasure. I like Rafe Beckett's other one, You Got To Me. The Beckett yard's really, really starting to get going now. And she won on her debut at Kempton. She beat a couple of sort of mid-80s horses that had all had quite a bit of, that both had quite a bit of experience already. She ran in a listed race after that and finished behind Molten Rock. She's got, you know, her pedigree screams middle distance three-year-old. You know, she's going to have to take a big step forward. But, she was the one that I like most in this.
Okay, You Got To Me, the other Rafe Beckett filly. Hector Crouch board this one for Matt Gardner. And to Johnny Pearson, are you taking on the favourite as well?
I'm not really too sure what to make of the race. It's, you know, it's not much, a huge amount of form to go off. You'd expect Ruby's a Red to improve on what she'd done, but then Galileo Dame at Chester was a little disappointing. But I would also say, with a different ride, I'd expect her to have finished a lot closer than she did. But I'm trying to work out where the pace is going to come from. Ruby's a Red made it last time at Leopardstown. That possibly took its toll on heavy ground at come the end of the race. And Danielle's been prominent in the racing as well. But I can't really see any of the others trying to make the running here. So, you know, if those two could end up having quite an easy lead on the front and be quite difficult to pass, then I'm not sure I really want to have a bet in the race. But it'll be interesting to see if anything does really take a step forward and mark themselves as a potential Oaks filly.
Okay, well, we're about to see whether you like one in the Colts and Geldings race. The 3 o'clock is the Lingfield Derby trial stakes over the same trip. Obviously, this one you can get the Colts and Geldings in this, although you need to be a Colt to run in the Derby. The market currently looks like this. Defiance and Illinois are currently the 5-2, or Illinois, 5-2 joint favourites. The Euphrate 4-1, Arabic Legend 15-2, Ambient Friendly 17-2, 14-1, and bigger the rest of the field. Another one that could take a massive step forward here is Illinois, who was in that Ballysex trial. I wouldn't be shocked to see this horse take a huge step forward, actually. But I thought Defiance's second last time was really interesting. I can see why these two are at the top of the market. What do we make of this one, Johnny Pearson?
I'm not sure we're going to have a Derby winner from this race. But the one that sort of did catch my eye was Defiance from his run in the Blue Rimmed at Epsom last time. He was, you know, held up well back, win a much better position throughout the race and finished really strongly. And if he steps up like the Thousand Guineas winner for Roger Varian at the weekend and takes a big step forward, then he could be very difficult to beat. And I think that form's as strong as anything in the race from those that have run so far this season. And which is all of them, maybe? Which is actually all of them, which is a nice change. And yeah, I think Defiance could be difficult to beat here.
Okay, yeah, Defiance. I really are catching that run at Epsom. And that was a performance that I've noted down. I've got this horse in my note, but whether this horse is good enough to win a Derby, I'm not sure. But Ed Nicholson, to you in this, do you think we'll see a Derby winner or a real good Derby type?
Probably not see a Derby winner, but we have done in the not too distant past. Illinois would be my selection, basically because of the form we've seen so far. It is the best horse in the race. That's basically why I'm going for it.
Yeah.
Rated 108. I mean, the thing is, he did disappoint in Ireland, didn't he, in the Ballysex Group 3. Before that, he was placing Group 1 in France. And I've watched the replay at least three times today. It's the strangest race, that battle. I don't know what the other guys think, but a very strange race. Dallas Star won it, but the horse that looked like it was going to win finished fourth. And the two O'Brien horses who run against each other again, Illinois and Euphrates, kind of, they just plugged on, and I couldn't believe Euphrates went past Illinois even. So I really don't know what to make of that race. It's normally a very good race for the future mile and a half races and mile and a quarter races. So the fact that Illinois was 8-11 that day and was miles favoured in front of his other horse, Euphrates, I think they were expecting a much, much, much better performance.
Okay, so Illinois at the top of the market, the one for Ed. Matt, I'll come to you for the Derby trial stakes. Who do you like in this?
Yeah, similar to Ed. I just sort of thought Illinois was the best horse, really. I mean, he was undeniably disappointing on reappearance, but given O'Brien's MO, I don't know if I'd hold that against him completely. Just thinking back to last year when he ran in that Criterium de Saint-Cloud, I thought he shaped really well. Like the first two came nearest to the standside rail, and he sort of got a bit marooned off it, which didn't look like the place to be. He beat Ramadan, who's won a listed and a Group 3 race, I think, so far this year. Bracken's Laugh was in behind, who improved a chunk in that Kentucky Derby qualifier thing that they have at Chelmsford, whatever it is. So, yeah, it's hard to get past that Ballysax run, but I wouldn't be surprised if he took a big step forward and just was the best horse in this. I'm not a massive fan of the Euphrates. I don't really like his head carriage. And nothing else really sort of leapt off the page to me, to be honest. So, yeah, I thought Illinois would be the one.
Yeah, and I'll vote for Illinois for Matt Gardner. Then let's move on to the final race we're covering on the ITV card. The 3:35 at Lingfield is the Chartwell Filly Stakes. It's a Group 3 contest over 7 furlongs. And Remarkey is the even money favourite. Great Generation 2-1. Sel Sabilo is 9-1, Stenton Glider 10-1, Many Tears 14-1, Serona 16-1, Vetiver 20-1, Born to Rock, and Les Bleus 33-1. Remarkey's obviously got that Group 1 form in the book. Coronation Stakes second behind Tahira, then behind Nashua in the Falmouth at Newmarket's July course. Looks the one to beat here. Dropping back to 7 furlongs, it's interesting to see that Remarkey and Stenton Glider, last time they met was over 7 furlongs, right on their seasonal debut last year. And it was only a neck between them. I thought Stenton Glider might be a fair each way price here, but I think we may all be in agreement that Remarkey will be the one to beat here. Ed, start with you.
She's the class act. Has had wind surgery over the winter. But on, if you look at all the level of forms, she's just miles ahead. You'd like a bigger price, but around about on the 6-5, 5-4, that would be good enough for me. I think she's probably the most of all the races we've looked at. I think she's the one that when you look at it, you think, yeah, she'll win.
Okay, yeah, Remarkey, yeah, she's so solid at the top of the market. Johnny Pearson, you in agreement there that she'll probably win?
Yeah, I think she just going to be too good for the rest of them here. There's not a huge amount to say. If she turns up in the form she was in last season, I can't see the others getting anywhere near her.
Absolutely. Do you think, how much of a step forward, Matt, do you think she's going to have taken going this season? How good potentially could she be? I mean, obviously competing in Group 1s and finishing second in these events. Is there potential for her to be a Group 1 winner? Or?
I don't know. Depending on how strong the Phillies division ends up being, I think, to be honest. I mean, you know, I think the point to make is none of these in opposition can boast anything like the Tahira Nashua form. Like they just can't. She did fluff the lines on a final start. It wasn't a Group 1 in France, but it was a considerably softer Group 1, and she got beat. That was only a couple of weeks after the Falmer, so I'd be keen enough to overlook that. I suppose the only concern would be you do see these fillies that they almost run up to the level of competition a little bit. You know, you might see a filly that finishes like third or fourth in a Group 1, and then they don't repeat it, and you think, why she missed the penalty kick at a Group 3 or whatever. But I think she's just got such a class edge that might not be an issue here for her. So, yeah, like the other boys, I think she'll take plenty of beating.
There we go. And there's your hat-trick horse for this week. Remarkey in the Chartwell Filly Stakes at Lingfield. And that is the ITV racing card covered. We'll be back shortly after this with a quick preview of the French Classics this weekend, as well as any other selections and our best bets this weekend.
Fancy a bet, but find it confusing? Do not fear. SmartView is here to help you. We've taken the traditional race card and removed all the jargon and abbreviations, which can be daunting for newcomers. The result is a race card that means making informed choices and picking winners is easier than ever. Our racing experts and data scientists have created an algorithm that puts everything a seasoned punter would consider into the attribute bars you see on the race card and assesses each runner with an overall score out of 100.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast. Sam Hart, Matt Gardner, Johnny Pearson and Ed Nicholson bringing you now a preview of the French Classics this week. And we're only going to give it a brief mention as they are two top quality races, the Pool d'Essai de Pouliche at 2:50 UK time and the 3:30, which is the Pool d'Essai de Poulain, which is the French 2,000 guineas. Johnny Pearson, I'll come to you. Is there any strong fancies or any horses that you really fancy in either of the two races?
In the 1,000 guineas, which is the Pouliche, I'm really, really taken by Louise Proctor when she won at Deauville. That was on your weather. That form looks really, really strong. Last time in April on heavy ground, and you know she's another one for the shortlist, so to speak. You could well run another big race. And with the 2,000 guineas, I've not got a overly strong fancy, but I think Kerran for the Aga Khan could run a big race at a bit of a price.
Okay, there we go. A couple to mention there. Matt Gardner, I mean, I'm hoping that Christopher Head can get his redemption for what happened in the 1,000 guineas and win the Poulain with Ramadan, who's a front runner who Head does so well with, just goes out in front and grinds him into submission. So I'm hoping Ramadan can do the business. But we do see Henry Longfellow hopefully returning here, who may be the Aidan O'Brien 3-year-old colt that we could get excited about.
Yeah, it was a pretty quiet campaign for him last year, wasn't it? He won a couple of Group 1s without that much fanfare, really, largely because of City of Troy, I expect. He's got a bit to prove, I think, because they were both small fields beating a similar pool of horses. He does look like the sort of horse that's going to improve a chunk at 3, but I think he's going to have to a little bit. I thought Beau Vatier might reverse that form with Ramadan. I really liked him last year. I thought he'd be the best of the French 2-year-olds. He came up short against Rosalien, but I don't think he was that well placed that day, like he wasn't behind Ramadan. And I suppose that's the concern again, is that he gets a bit too far back. But I do like him quite a bit. I also really like Dancing Gemini. That listed win that he last year, like, I was blown away by that. I know he flopped in the futurity a bit, but I think the ground was probably too soft for him. And you know, physically, he really looked like the sort that would make a proper 3-year-old. So, yeah, of the colts, they were probably the two in there that I liked the most. Just touching on Romantic Style, you know, it's not just the Romatuelle form. She beat a day in Devon last year. He's done really well so far this year for Millman's. You know, she could have won the Newmarket race, couldn't she, really? Like, I think she's got a lot going for her. So, yeah, I think there's plenty of interest in both of those races, really.
They're fascinating contests, both of them. They really are. And I agree with you a bit with Beauvatier, obviously, that chasing home Ramadan the last day. But as a two-year-old, this horse is really strong two-year-old form, especially beating Ramatuel in a narrow finish as a two-year-old. So, look, it's a really interesting contest. You're going to see the British, the Irish, and the French competing here. Look, take note of that on Sunday. You've got 2.50 and 3.30 from Longchamp. Certainly worth keeping your eye on those races. Is there any other horses this weekend? Just quickly to mention Johnny Pearson. Anything else, or is that it from you this week?
There's a couple of races that caught my Leopardstown on Sunday. Firstly, the 2.25 is a Group 3 for three-year-old fillies. We'll see one look for Paddy Toomey, so far as, you know, on debut in the car in September, looks an absolute aeroplane, albeit on soft ground. You know, she was very impressive when winning opening this season, but once again, that was on heavy ground. So the big question is how well she's going to go on better surface and in, you know, more competitive races. But she could be, she's still got, you know, the tag of could be anything. And then potentially the best Derby trial of the weekend comes in the 3.35. And the two that have caught my eye most this season are Spoken Truth for Dermot Weld and London City for Aidan O'Brien. It won a maiden at Dundalk, but I thought those were actually a really impressive run. And the seconds of both those races run in the 7 o'clock at Cork, I think it's Cork, on Friday evening. So it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out as well and whether we've got a potential Derby winner from that race on Sunday.
Okay, yeah, interesting that. London City's one who hasn't shown much at two, but has won on debut this season for Aidan O'Brien as a three-year-old. Honestly, this horse could take a huge step, but I'd agree with you there. I didn't realise London City was actually running this weekend. But yeah, that's one to keep an eye on. Also, the Dermot World horse, Spoken Truth, in there. Another one to keep an eye on, but could be a really good Derby trial there at Leopardstown, the 3.35. Matt, anything else from you this weekend?
4.55 at Ascot, massive field sprint handicap. I love a big field sprint handicap. Mr. Bluebird for Heather Main. I thought he ran a really good race on reappearance. It was over 5 furlongs. He's a out and out 6 furlong horse. He's got Ethan Jones, a really, really good value £7 claimer, I think, taking the ride for the first time. You know, it is a massive field. It's really competitive, but he's come down the weights, and I just thought he looked primed to win second time out. I didn't necessarily anticipate that would be in a 20 runner plus handicap, but I think he's definitely really interesting.
Okay, there we go. A few horses. Oh, you got one, Ed?
No, I was just going to say we're going two extra places in that race as well. Unibetto, that might be worth taking advantage of. You've got a follow Matt's selection.
There we go, yeah, two extra places. I mean, yeah, with that many runners, they'll be ideal for punters, I'm sure, following each way. Anyway, right, time to get the best bets this week and then find out who the panel like as their big fancy. I'll kick things off. I'm going to be fairly boring. I'm going to go to the Swinton Handicap Hurdle and I'm going to put up Lark in the Morning at 85-40. Unibet will be boosting all the prices of the naps at the time of the upload, so you can get all of our naps uploaded from around 7 p.m. on Thursday evening. Ed Nixon, to you next. Who's your nap going to be?
Remarkey for me, the 3.35 at Lingfield.
Remarkey for Ed, then the 3.35 at Lingfield. Matt, to you, who's going to be the best bet?
Pearl Door in the Victoria Cup. And I think given how solid a case he made for him, Ed can get a point for that as well when he wins.
Okay, Pearl Door in the Victoria Cup then. David Amar and Sylvester D'Souza there. And Johnny Pearson finishes off with the best bets.
I'm going to go with Topanga in the 2.05 for Andrew Boarding and Ashim Murphy.
Never be scared of the drip. Topanga for Johnny Pearson, but Ed Nixon was also keen on that horse as well. See how the naps get on and review those next weekend. Just quickly, I'll spin round the panel, find out what everyone's up to on this glorious sunny weekend coming up. Matt, I'll start with you. Probably going to be cycling, to be fair.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm working a bit actually this weekend, which is badly timed, isn't it, given the weather. But yeah, a bit of cycling. Mainly looking forward to York next week. That's the big thing for me. Favorite meeting of the year by a mile, the Dante meeting. Love it. So yeah, looking forward to that.
And in one word, is there an early fancy for the Dante meeting?
I can't remember her name. That Carl Burke filly that finished second on debut. She's going to run in the Marygate, I think. 2-year-old filly, River Sen or something, I think she was it the other day. So yeah, I liked her.
Okay, keep note of that then. Yeah, the Dante meeting next week. Johnny Pearson, what are you up to this weekend?
Wondering, a bit of golf, maybe watch some racing, maybe go cycling as well. You know, got the Giro started, really putting me in the mood for it. But more importantly, Sam, seeing as it's your birthday today, what are you up to this weekend?
Yeah, I didn't mention it at the top of the show. Yeah, 30th birthday today. I don't know how our head producer Dave Lowe's got me working on such a day, but yeah, I'm working today. I'm off tomorrow, spending a bit of time with the family, working again on Saturday, and then on Sunday I'm going for a lovely meal with the whole family, which will be really nice. So keeping it nice and quiet, nice and chilled. Getting to the 30s now, I've got to be sensible. Right, there we go. That's it for this week's show. Big thanks to Matt Gardner, to Johnny Pearson, to Unibet's Ed Nicholson, as always. Do like, comment, share and subscribe. Get involved down below and we'll read some of the comments out potentially next week on the show. But until then, do gamble responsibly and we'll see you soon.